Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, March 23rd. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Students at a Clovis high school last month walked out in protest of U.S. immigration enforcement actions. Later, the Clovis Police Department threatened legal action against adults.
The notion that this can't be our Clovis kids, this has to be something else intruding into what we consider, you know, Clovis way of life.
Today we discuss how the protests unfolded and who has been the target of inquiries. We'll have that conversation in just a moment.
KVPR's podcast, Central Valley Daily, is proud to be the Valley's only daily news podcast. And what better way to show your support for local news than to join us at Corks and Brews, KVPR's Beer and Wine Festival. We'll have live music, food trucks, and a silent auction, all along the gorgeous San Joaquin River. The event is Sunday, May 3rd, and tickets are $75. Get yours at kvpr.org. We can't wait to see you there.
And now to our main story. Back in February, students across the country were taking to the streets to protest the Trump administration's mass deportation efforts. Students left school to show their solidarity with immigrants without legal status and to protest enforcement tactics by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. These ICE out protests also reached the community of Clovis, a city with a school district known for strict standards. So when school officials learned parents were protesting alongside students, the Clovis Police Department later said it was considering charging the adults. A statement from the city says adults were seen encouraging students to organize and leave school without permission. Under California law, parents can be held responsible for causing truancy or unexcused absences. Reporter Nigel Jawara paints a picture of the climate in Clovis in his latest report for our news partner, Cal Matters, and he starts with the political events that inspired the protests.
In Fresno and Clovis, it wasn't necessarily just one day. There was a walkout on a day in February, and they were protesting Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the broader immigration deportation program. If you probably remember, in January, an ICU nurse named Alex Preddy was shot and killed by Customs and Border Protection agents in Minneapolis. And that followed someone else named Renee Good being killed. So these protests sort of materialized in late January and into February. We certainly saw them in Los Angeles. And then the kids in Clovis decided to do it.
Okay. So a lot of students left school, not just here in the Valley, as you said, but across the state and country. I could see the argument that, okay, these students are just exercising their civic duty. That's a good thing. But what caused this to go from civic duty to potentially civic penalties? I understand the police in Clovis specifically are reviewing the protests for possible criminal charges.
Yeah, that's right. And we should be super clear. Of course, the students who walked out are not in any kind of legal danger, as far as I understand. The ones who walked out told me that they haven't been suspended or disciplined by the school. But the trick is, and this is specific to Clovis, the day after the march, the Clovis Police Department put out a press release, and they said, we're investigating up to six adults who we believe induced these students into truancy, meaning that they got them to miss school. And that's something that we can charge them with. And so of those six people, at least one of them talked to us and said, yep, I'm pretty sure I'm one of the people they're looking at. They haven't charged me yet. They haven't arrested me yet, but I'm expecting it to come any day.
Yeah, one of the group's leading protests around immigration in the Valley is known as Fresno Resistance. Tell us a little more about the group and its members.
Sure. So Fresno Resistance got started post-pandemic, and certainly once the Trump administration deportation program got going in earnest about halfway through last year, they started to sort of step up their activity. If you probably noticed, some folks are out of work. That also includes some of the leadership of Fresno Resistance. So this is pretty much what they do now. They would disagree with the notion that they led the school walkout. What they said is that the students contacted them the last minute and just said, hey, we think there's going to be some counter protesters. Would you all consider coming down here and just walking with us along the route? But the protesters and the Fresno Resistance both insist that they were not the ones, there wasn't Fresno Resistance to get this going, that this was a student-led effort. And that's going to be part of probably what the police are looking at.
Okay. And you spoke with someone from Fresno Resistance, right, for your reporting?
I did. I spoke with one of the leaders. His name is Alfred Adretti. And he and his twin brother are part of the leadership of Fresno Resistance.
Okay. Do they feel like it's being singled out for these protests?
They believe that this is very much in line with their understanding of the city of Clovis. For folks who don't know, Clovis is a very distinct place from the city of Fresno. It's to its north and east. It's about $20,000 per median household income richer. It is more conservative. About every single precinct in Clovis went for Trump, some of them by as much as 73%. There is a saying, I don't know if you all are familiar, that when the signs turn brown, turn around. That saying means once you get out of Fresno and you hit the signs in Clovis, which are brown, signs in Fresno are green, you should turn around and get out of there. You all, KVPR, you had a story about 10 years ago, I think, with someone who said, yeah, Clovis was a sundown town. Not only that, you couldn't stop in Clovis during the daytime. So that's the environment that they knew that they were entering into. I don't think, based on interviews, that any of them expected criminal charges to follow.
Okay. Now that we've painted that picture, let's talk about how the school district has responded, because you reached out to members of Clovis Unified about these student walkouts. I understand you didn't get much of a response, but has anyone from the district indulged you in their perspective?
Well, I was wondering, you know, was it something I said? Yeah, the school board unanimously said they were not going to comment. We did speak to, a paid representative of them, a spokesperson for the school board, who basically said that their concerns were, you know, about the student safety. They can't control what happens to them if they're off campus. She offered that the school district actually has designated protest zones. So during your lunch, if you want to protest, you can take 30 minutes and protest there, and you're on campus and they keep an eye on you. If you leave campus and something happens to you, the school district is asserting that they're worried about that.
You know, this makes me think, like, when we hear protesting, we think of maybe students marching with signs. But was there any information to indicate that something more nefarious was going on? Were they, you know, graffitiing things? Were they acting out, being inappropriate? Were the adults encouraging that? Because when you hear legal responses to students, of course, they shouldn't leave campus based on school rules. But was there any behavior during the protests that was alarming on a legal level that we know about?
You know, not having been there, I can't say with any certainty. Based on the interviews and based on the video I reviewed, it looked pretty much like they were holding signs. They were in one spot by the Chase Bank, you know, in kind of a strip mall, and they were certainly waving signs and chanting. But from the video I saw, no, I didn't see anybody graffitiing or anything. But again, I wasn't there.
Yeah. So the focus, and again, like you said, is really on this adult intervention, so to speak, which people are concerned about. Because I found it interesting in your reporting that a candidate for the state superintendent of public instruction, which for those who don't know is basically like the top education role in the state, they said that these adults were being looked into in Clovis as agitators, pushing students to become activists. I know that's often a critique on college campuses as well, often from more conservative-leaning folks. They feel that students are being prepped and primed to, you know, push against the existing government. Was that a sentiment you heard anywhere else, or was that just that one candidate's view?
So on background, that does mimic what I heard from folks who were talking to me and didn't want to be quoted. They didn't want their information, you know, in the story, even on background. So yes, from what I heard, that is kind of the dominant theory. That these were people who are under the age of 18 or maybe just 18, you know, they can't quite make up their minds yet. They're not sort of fully formed adults yet with the ability to make these choices. And their fear is, yes, that these adults are somehow
stoking that.
Yeah, stoking it. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Because that seems to be, to me, like the undercurrent of all the reports I've read is it's not so much that there is fear that students are being, you know, manipulated, if you will, against their own will, and that the adults are overstepping for their own political views and maybe shaping these young folks to view things that way.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that what is definitely true of Clovis, without using any kind of, you know, labels, is that they like their history. They like that they're distinct. They like being not Fresno. And so when the incursion comes from the larger culture, from the Bay Area, from Fresno itself, that seems to be what is in part at least getting their hackles up. The notion that this can't be our Clovis kids, this has to be something else intruding into what we consider, you know, Clovis way of life.
I do appreciate you delineating that, because I do feel like there's a lot of like pressure points in this situation. It's not just students and parents. It's not just school districts and parents. There are political tensions, and there is that sense of community and regional pride kind of undergirding a lot of what we're talking about. So I appreciate you highlighting that. Lastly, it sounds like things are sort of outstanding at this point. We know no charges have been filed yet. Do we have an indication if that could happen? And if so, anytime soon?
We don't have any more indication the day after they released that press release. And you could say, potentially, that that might have been all they needed to do, right? That in terms of getting people to stop talking and rabble-rousing and doing this kind of stuff, maybe all they had to say was, hey, we're considering charges, and it dies down. Or maybe it'll go the other way. People will take that information and say, okay, let's do it again and see what you're going to do.
Nigel Duara, reporter with our news partner, Cal Matters. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for having me.
And that is today's show. Have a story idea for a future episode of Central Valley Daily? Maybe feedback? We would love to hear from you. Email podcast@kvpr.org. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.